Surf Rock Podcast.
Hey, can we give the Lord an applause for the work that he's doing in our midst? I know sometimes it might feel like, oh, we're talking about the things that we're doing, but it really is an expression of what God is doing in our midst. Amen? So let's give him one resounding applause. God, you are good. You are faithful. There are new people coming to Christ. We are at work in the world because of his good work inside of us. Amen? Well, I don't know if that gets you jazzed or jacked or whatever it is that you use the word for, but it pumps me up to hear about everything that's going on with our Echo students and having just returned from the mission field myself to the wild call of Alaska, right? So apparently we have some avid hunters and fishermen and women and outdoors men and women in this church, because when they found out I got back from Alaska, they're like, oh, well, how was vacation? Right? And I'm not going to lie, it is beautiful. It's amazing. And some of the things that we call vacation or active sport, they do for survival out there. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But it was a really great trip. Got to know some of the people that were on the team with me really well. Had a chance to meet some new friends and family in Alaska. But I wanted to just pray, and then we're going to jump into this message. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what God did through our faithful prayer and giving and service to go and care for people all the way in Alaska. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your call on our lives and the commission that you give us, Lord, to be witnesses, as Debbie talked about last week. Lord, we are your witness, and we are witnesses of what you're doing to transform us as individuals and as a collective group. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through your word and that we would leave this place transformed and activated to walk in faith and to trust you with every area of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. So I have just returned from the great outdoors of Alaska. Did you know that there's over 700,000 square feet? It's 2.5 times the size of Texas. So the next time somebody from Texas tells you, hey, you know, everything's bigger in Texas, say, well, you haven't been to Alaska. Right? You got to tell them that. Because sometimes we just got to keep our Texan friends in check, right? I mean, we just do. If they're going to live in Colorado, they got to quit bragging about Texas. That's a whole different sermon that we'll talk about another day. But the reality is, there's almost 600,000 square miles, just over 700,000 people living there. So it's almost like every single person has their own mile when you get to the place. So, but I can tell you this, that we were in Kisilov, Alaska. We were in Kenai, we were in Soldotna, and we were at a place called Anchor Point, which is the home base of North of Hope. If you guys can tell, I'm not just dressing down, but I'm repping North of Hope. It's got this great compass on the back. Talks about what they're doing in Alaska to reach the many, many, many different tribes and cultures and communities that are in Alaska. It's a gorgeous place. But I can tell you this, that when I first started following Jesus over 21, 22 years ago in this very church, I would have never ventured to think that God would send me to Alaska. I mean, me of all people to Alaska on really a focus, not to preach, not to teach, not to do the stuff that I'm more comfortable doing, but to lead a construction crew. They're laughing. To lead a construction crew in the wilderness. To go see a people I've never met in a place I've never been, and that's just kind of what happened, right? So I know that some of you in here are going, yeah, we don't feel bad for you, but I can tell you that being on this trip, sleeping on the basement of that church, having the sun up for 20 hours of the day, and when they say dark, it's really just barely dusk. It's twilight out, and so, you know, probably working off about 8 hours of sleep since that time. However, it was a great trip, and what God did there because we went was an amazing, amazing thing. So why go to Alaska? I know sometimes you guys may have those questions, right? Why do we support Honduras? Why France? Why Thailand? Why Bangladesh? Why do we go where we go? Why Alaska? And really, it's very simple. From a biblical standpoint, it's simply because the love of Christ compels us to be the relationship, to be the witness that he's called us to be in the relationships that he's put alongside of us. Does that make sense? So the people we went to serve are a dear, dear couple, good friends of mine, Rod and Teresa Coop, who had served in the role that I serve as in the district, and then went to be the national church planting director, and then ended up getting sent all the way out to Alaska to be the missionary focus point through FMI. They're planting churches all around. So they've been there about 6 years now. Now, this is something to celebrate, right? So since they've been there, when they got there, there was 5 functioning churches in all of Alaska. Can you believe that? I mean, mostly because not many people can survive the difficulties of the winters in Alaska. But we only had 5 churches represented out there that were 4-score churches. And since they've arrived there, they've planted 9 additional. So they doubled plus almost another double of what they're doing out there to reach the many, many diverse cultures that are found in Alaska. So why did we go there? To be witnesses, to the ends of the earth, as Acts 1:8 challenges us to do. So what happens when we take the Great Commission and the charge of being witnesses and representing the kingdom of God? 2 things, really. 1, we get blessed to participate as the lifeblood and the skin and the heart and the hands to serve other people, but the people that we go to serve get blessed as well. I mean, can you imagine going from trying to navigate the 405? Isn't it 405 in California? Isn't that main highway that I always get stuck on? Yeah, that's it. To living out in Alaska, in a place where you don't sometimes won't even see people, especially in the winter, right? So the reason we go there is because we have a relationship that we've built over the years with Rod and Teresa, with North of Hope, and then they spread out to minister to all kinds of different needs in the area. What's unique about this particular ministry is that they don't just go and preach at people. They go and build lives with them. They go and do community with them. They go and serve by bringing food trucks, by filling single moms' freezers with fish that they catch throughout their summer camps. They go in and they build things that add value to the community. And because of that, they're starting to see a lot of people coming towards them and asking the question, why do you love us the way that you love us? Isn't that a beautiful picture? And so for us, why Alaska isn't just the relationship, it isn't just the Great Commission, but it's that connection of our mission's focus as a relationship and the primary lifeblood of the church, right? In other words, what I'm trying to speak into right now is the value of how we do missions, how we do life as a church is relationally connected, okay? And so for North Rock, missions isn't just a department, right? We don't just get up here and say, this is the missions department, this is what they did, this is how much was spent, this is... We actually go out and live on mission, whether it's next door or whether it's all the way in Alaska. And so as part of that, I took a team of 3 other people with me, Bert Herrera, Jason Lux, and Pastor Arturo. Now, 2 of those people, we're still praying them in, because I'm going to interview him here at the end of the service. But Jason is sitting right there. You might be able to stand up, Jason, show him who you are. We're going to bring him up a little bit later, and we're going to interview him. But I can tell you, going to Alaska stretched me in more ways than I could really even describe, but I'm going to attempt to describe it over the next few minutes, okay? But first, let's go back to the Bible, right? Let's start with the why we go on mission. And I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. If you have your Bibles, please open them up. If you don't have them, we will have them projected behind us. But I don't know if you're like me. I like to have the Bible in my hand or on my phone as I read along, okay? So 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 21 is some instructions to the Corinthian church. And verse 14, am I supposed to be running this thing? I am, aren't I? They got me. Thank you. Man, I kind of like this. Free, my hands are open. I don't have to worry about clicking. Good job, you guys. So verse 14 says, either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive the new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. how differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Did you guys catch that line? That's the meat, that's the heart of what I'm going to be talking about today. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God who made, or God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Final section here, starting chapter 6, it says, as God's partners, everybody say God's partners. Let me hear you again, God's partners. It's quite the title, isn't it? As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Amen? I love that, the way that that passage frames this trip to Alaska, because in Acts 1:8, it says, go ahead and be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I can tell you, when you get to Alaska, you think you might be at the end of the earth. Like, most of it isn't even inhabitable. And so we got a real education on that. But I want to talk to you just for a few moments today about three things that happen on mission. That was three fingers. That's good. Three things that happen when we go on mission, or when we do life as mission, as a response to what we just read, right? So the first one is that we move outside of our comfort zones and we move into the faith zone. Do you guys understand those aren't the same places in our lives, right? The things that we're comfortable doing, we don't usually need to ask God for his power, his wisdom, his grace, his resources for, right? And that's why he's always sending us to the next group, the next one, the next person, because the comfort zone is where I like to dwell. Like, I like to just, can things just be okay for a little while, right? Anybody with me this morning? And it's almost like a pre-hardwire that God needs to unhardwire. The new life versus the old life, right? Of wanting to create this nice little nest for us all to abide in, where everything's comfy and fun and safe, right? And churches have always tried to do that. Like, we try to get people to come to church because it's nice and it's, our seats are soft and our air conditioning works most of the time. And you know what I mean? We just kind of keep reinforcing everything should be good and nice and soft, and that is not what we see in the scriptures. And so when we move out of our comfort zones into that faith zone, something happens. A result of that is that God begins to minister to us. And I can tell you that when I was in Alaska, God ministered to me in so many ways. I mean, I said that to set up kind of the joke and the trip and everything else, but I am the least likely candidate to take anybody to Alaska and bring them home alive. Okay? And I can tell you, going into this, Jason, I didn't tell you before, but I'm telling you now, I didn't know where we were going. I didn't know where Kisilov was. My contact of Rod and Teresa were busy on the other side of Alaska doing a fishing camp, and we were going to meet some pastors that I've never met. And so it's literally, I got four guys with me, and I'm walking through the airport looking for somebody to reach out and go, hey, are you Pastor Chad? Okay, Lord, show me who it is, right? And so you get there, and you realize, wow, these construction projects, I have no idea how to do. Like, I don't, you know, My ability to build stuff is about as advanced and as deep and long as my toolbox, which is about that big. Okay, it's more like that big, okay? But we did that, and then there's a whole bunch of outdoors activities, as you can imagine, when you're in Alaska. So one of the ways that we helped serve the communities is we went fishing for halibut in the ocean. And I know that sounds amazing, but one of our pastors, poor Pastor Arturo, had a very, very hard day at sea because we were at sea and the waves were pretty bad. and it's a real challenge, right? But for me, one of the areas that the enemy tries to bind me up, one of the areas that I sometimes feel insecure about is the ability to be with men and talk about things that they do, like hunting and fishing. And so I had a couple of people that have done that and that really enjoy doing that. And of course, that's part of why God called them to help us in Alaska. And like I'm standing there, we're in the Kisilov River, and I don't know how to put my waders on. I don't know how to fish at all. And God had to continue to just work me through some of that while he did a good work in blessing the people that we were there with, right? So part of the construction job that we did is we replaced 40 units of what used to be the old fluorescent lights with much more affordable and efficient LEDs, right? I don't know what that means. I just don't. I don't know how it works, but God gave us the right team to go and to participate and to do something that I would have never experienced had we not said, God, even though I don't know how this is going to work out, we're going to trust you because you said to go. Amen? Isn't life so much like that? That when we trust God and we walk into what he has for us, he meets us there and he shows us that he is faithful to do what he already said he would do in our lives if we would trust him and come out of our comfort zone and move into our faith zone. Amen? Amen. So 1 Corinthians 1:9 says it this way in the New Living Translation. It says, God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, there's that word, partnership. He's faithful to do as we move into our faith zone and into partnership with what he's doing in our midst, right? Many of you guys have heard that expression, just find out what God is doing and meet him there, right? Like, how does that work? Like, how do you know? Well, you don't until you go. Does that make sense? That's why sending is a value in this church, that we don't think that there's some sort of osmosis that happens as I preach these words, they just land on you and it transforms your life and everybody goes home going, wow, I'm a new person. It's amazing. No, it's as we trust God in his word and what he said he would do, we walk in that and we find the new life that he already has for us and we get blessed as we go because we went out to be a blessing. Does that make sense? Because I can tell you, being there, I was blessed more than I probably contributed. Jason, right? More than I contributed, I was blessed more. But I can tell you, everybody else on that trip felt the same way. It was like, really? God is allowing us to do this on mission? And in the context, I thought we were going to go into some tribe, some area, some village, and we ended up serving an aging congregation, a great man named Mike Hicks in Kisilov, Alaska, with a church that he planted 25 years ago that has had its heyday, and now they're 25 years into that run, and they're all an aged kind of a group, and they can't do any of the deferred maintenance. So we ended up getting on the roof and installing a nice sound system, horn system, so people in the town knows when to come to church, and we did those lighting units. So again, as we went, right, as we went, God showed up faithful, 1 Corinthians 1:9, that God will do this for you. He is faithful to do what he said, and he's invited you into partnership with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That he put the right people to put that thing together. And I can tell you, I got to brag on the team a little bit. I've already told you, it wasn't me, it was them. But the job that they had, they thought was going to take 3 days. These guys cranked it out in 1 day. You know what that meant? I got to catch a couple of sockeye salmon because of that. I got to go in the river and jump in and get them myself. So that's part of what happens. So when we go on mission, we move outside of our comfort zone into the faith zone. The second thing that happens is we have opportunity to expand our worldview, right? We get to see through other people's experiences while influencing them in the love of Jesus Christ. Now, I can tell you, I've been on mission trips where we preach the whole time. With them, it's serve, and share your story, share your testimony. And so while we're there, I had a chance not just to share in relationship with the pastors, but with the team that went with us. And part of what I learned out there was that when we fish for sport. When Alaskans fish, they fish for survival. Now imagine how I felt, not being an angler by any stretch of the imagination, and they say, okay, we're going to take you down into the Kenai River, and you're going to preach at what they call it, Jason, the battlegrounds, right? The battlegrounds. Well, I'm thinking, oh, that's just where all the fish fight on top of each other, and, you know, and they're just going to be really easy, and I'm just going to grab them. Well, these fish are, you know, like those. Like, they break lines like, you know, like there's no tomorrow. And there's a fisherman lined up in the water for miles down the river looking at you like this as you walk up. They just keep walking, son, keep walking. This is my area. That's why they call it the battlegrounds, because you have to land your fish with, you know, 6 feet of space. Does that make sense to you guys? Now, how is it possible that a place where there's a mile for every person, they fish in the places where there's, you know, shoulder to shoulder? We're going to show you a few pictures to illustrate that. But that's one of the ways that my perspective changed, that I didn't see Alaska correctly. I didn't know what it was like, but I didn't think it would be like that. The other thing that I recognized was not just that they have to fish and hunt for survival, but they have incredibly harsh conditions in Alaska. Some of you may know, some of you may not know, but while we were there, over 20 hours of the day was in light. And then when we went to bed, it was light. When we woke up, it was light. And so even when it was dusk, it was barely twilight. It wasn't dark at all. But I think the way that I would describe the harsh elements of even their summers, this is the high time. This is when vacationers come there to do the fishing and the hunting, and you have that element. They also have the opposite, where it's dark for almost the entirety of the day, right? So the way that it was described to me is that it takes a special kind of woman to make it in Alaska. I says, really, what does that mean to you? And so he turned to me and he said, this is Pastor Mike, the kind of woman that makes it in Alaska is the kind of woman that you can't handle. It's okay, check. He says you can't handle her, right? It's the type of woman you can't handle and is more woman than you can handle. That's how he said it, right? More woman you can handle and more man than you will ever be. Like, he said that to me. Like, I'm going, brother, we're here serving you in Christian community. And, you know, yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. And honestly, there were multiple times where the Lord just kind of stopped me. And I said, you're right, Lord. I'm not sure I could do this. I'm not sure I could do that. And so for us to be there, for us to send a team of people representing this body to support our friends and missionaries in the Coops and to support the many, many works, but especially Mike Hicks, who we served there in Kisilov, meant such a big deal to them, right? It's easy for us to think of to the ends of the earth. It's easy for us to theologize and theorize about what about the people that never hear, right? Well, it's our job as witness to make sure that those people don't exist anymore. Alaska is one of those kind of last frontiers for people to go see. And we had people from Thornton, Colorado in Kisilov, Alaska. Can you believe that we did that? Isn't that a cool thing? Honestly, I couldn't do it without you. And I'm thankful for you partnering with us to see us go and serve Christ there in Kisilov, okay? And the third thing that happens when we go on mission is that we experience a deepening fellowship with kingdom partners and extended spiritual family. Like, I have never been more warmly embraced than by this small little, you know, 60-member church in Kisilov. Every night, one family made up a meal for like 15 guys, and they gave it to us four. And so if it looks like I put on a few pounds, it's probably because I have. Okay, but they took such great care of us, and they were so thankful to see us. And to be there in that moment when Rod and Teresa had been serving their eyes out all day, all night, for an extended period of time in Alaska, pursuing the call of God on their lives, saw us on ground. They actually came early to meet us because they just couldn't hold back. That is what happens when we go on mission. We experience deepening fellowship. We recognize that there are kingdom partners throughout the world and that there's extended spiritual family that we don't even know of when we open up our eyes and we say, God, I will go on mission for you. Okay, so I wanted to ask Jason to come up because he is the only one on the team who got up for the 9 o'clock service, apparently. So we're going to give those guys a hard time. But would you please welcome Jason Lux. Now, Pastor Arturo still needs to do his services today, so I'm going to give him a pass, but I'm going to give Bert a hard time when he gets here in a little bit, okay? But Jason, I just wanted you to share a little bit of what it was like for you to go, kind of tell a little bit of the story of what you experienced, as well as, you know, how God kind of led you to go.
All right, for me, going, talk about stepping out in faith. I'm very organized, and we were kind of far from organized. We didn't have a meeting. Yeah. I didn't know Bert. I didn't know Pastor Arturo. I know Chad from Chad being up here. Yeah. I tend to be in a shell until I get to know people. So I was telling my wife, I was like, wow, this is kind of weird. I don't know these guys. I'm going to go spend a week with them, you know, up in Alaska. That's crazy. And then to find out we weren't going to do the solar panels that we originally planned to do. So we're just like, wow, what are we going to do? Didn't have my ticket, didn't have ticket information, I think, till the Wednesday before. So just having no clue. And kept telling my wife, I was like, this is putting me out there on the faith, and, you know, YOLO, let's go and see what happens. As far as the reason for going, I've always kind of wanted to give back. I did 17 years of professional wrestling. We always did Toys for Tots, and that was kind of like my biggest night, was be able to give back that way. We did stuff for veterans, so it was always kind of cool to just to be able to give back. Jackie Acosta goes to this church. She does stuff for the homeless. So we go out and try to help her out when we can. And the company I work for, we do a CARES Day where we all go out and volunteer for a day. So whether it's going out and painting schools, doing stuff for the Boys and Girls Club, making blankets, whatever, just always kind of trying to give back in some way. So what better way? Kind of new to the whole religion thing, and just figured, you know, it's a good way to go, good way to learn, get to hang out with Pastor Chad. What better person to learn from? So I jumped in and decided to go.
Yeah, that's good. So can you share with us just a little bit about maybe how God ministered to you as you stepped out of what you just described as a pretty big comfort zone? Like, I like my things in order, and we're going on a mission to a place that none of us have information about. How did God minister to you in the midst of that, or what kind of takeaways did you have?
You know, for me, I guess just knowing I was going to be okay, yeah. Being able to put my faith, put my trust into God, yeah. And just knowing I'm doing it for God, everything's going to be okay. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, just kind of jumping out in faith, not having a clue, and just putting that trust in it.
So would you, how about, you know, my second point I talked about, that we have deepening fellowship when we go on mission together. How much better do you feel like you know me or any of the people that were on that trip after having slept alongside of us in the light in a basement of a church in Kisilov, Alaska?
Well.
Better than you want to, right? Yeah.
Exactly. You know, we'd get maybe 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night.
Yeah.
But just getting to know these guys was amazing. Bert got up almost every morning and made breakfast for us, learning about his story with his son. We actually lived a couple blocks away from him, never put the two together. My son knows Parker, but just never met him, and he was right down the street. So cool to get to know him. For some reason, Pastor Arturo kind of stole my heart. Yeah. Just the amazing guy, and he was always right there by my side. Even though there's a little bit of language barrier, just kind of getting to know him, and what was amazing. And then, of course, getting to know you and getting to know your story kind of tied us together, because we're almost right there on the same page with our past. So.
You bet. Now we dress alike. That's how Twins. Much it brought us together. Isn't that a nice thing? That's good. Anything else you wanted to share? Just a story or something that happened that you just went, wow, that was really a God kind of moment.
Share the boat.
Yeah, whatever you'd like to. Yeah.
All right. Well, first of all, just to kind of put a little perspective, Castleloff was literally the general store, the gas station, Pastor Mike's house, the church a half mile down.
Yep.
That's where we stayed at for while we were there. The next closest house was 4 or 5 miles away, unless you count the one we can see up on the mountain across from the church. So it was small, and you blink and you were through these towns. So it was definitely a small place. My moment, we were going out with Rod and Teresa, and out in the middle of the Arctic, and I think we were 10, 11 miles out, and the other guy that was driving the other boat with us decided to take his eyes off and was looking at the current maps and decided to sideswipe us out in the middle of the ocean on the boat.
Yeah. So near-death experiences brings you together in ways that you wouldn't normally think about. Yeah,
so I had Pastor Chad Naturo sitting on the dry box with me. And we all slid down, and I probably could have went over because our boat was pretty well tipped over. And what saved me was the dry box and the edge of the boat trapped my leg. So that was definitely an interesting come to Jesus moment because I was like,
I wasn't there yet. Yeah, that'll get you there, right?
What saved me was the two pastors sitting next to me and our 600 pounds of weight all combined squashing my leg against the boat. So,
yeah, I'm thankful to be in the boat still. Would you get off of me, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, anything else you wanted to say?
Not that I can think of. I mean,
it's good. Well, I have
again,
to take...
being out of my comfort zone talking in front of
people.
Exactly.
So. Welcome to the club, my friend. Welcome to the club. Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to take just a moment and brag on this guy a little bit. One, because he was a perfectly fit piece to the team that we brought up there. But his heart for serving the community up there was just incredible. Went over and above and beyond anything that we would have ever hoped for. Jason, you were really a joy to have along on this trip. You know, you learn a lot about people when you live in a basement with them for a week, right? On both sides. And Jason served with the love of Jesus to a people that he'd never met in a way that it could be nothing less than supernatural. To the point that they've been trying to record their sermons for a long, long time, and nobody knew how to convert the format for them. And we're sitting out by the fire after a long, long, long day of work and fishing, and he just says, hey, I can take a look at that for you. And within like 15 minutes, done. Something they've been working on for years. So thank you for going. Thank you for living supernaturally natural life. So we thank you. Thank you. So here's the last question. It's just this. Are you going back next year?
Definitely. I want to go back and see the tribes.
I know, just showing the pictures up behind us, probably got that group to double that quickly, didn't it? Hey, what I'd like to do right now, I just feel like we're in a moment in the service when it'd be appropriate to just pray. Can we do that? So I want to pray for Jason. I want to pray for the rest of the team that's not standing here, that they would be here for the next service. I want to pray for Rod and Teresa and this mission of being co-ministers, co-partners with God in Alaska. So, Father, we do just take a moment. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the testimony of our lives, that you are still writing the next chapter of how we walk with you in this world. So, Lord, I pray for Jason. I thank you for the man that he is. I thank you for the dad that he is. I thank you for the worker that he is. And Lord, I thank you for the partner in the gospel that he is. And so we just pray that you continue to fan the flame in his faith, or that you continue to build this man of God into the man that you have made him. And Lord, we pray together for Pastor Mike and for the whole community of Castleloff. Lord, we pray that you would encourage their hearts, that you would bless them, and that you would continue to pour out your spirit, your resources, and the partnerships from all over the country and all over the world that come into Alaska to help meet a people in some very difficult circumstances. And Lord, I lift up my friends, Rod and Teresa, today. Lord, I pray that you would bless them, that you would restore their energy and the love that they poured out. Lord, we know that anything we put into your hands, you multiply and you bless and you cause to go further than anything we could ever do with it. And so thank you for the investment of this church. Thank you for the relationship that we have. Lord, we pray that you would continue to build it and that as we stand here year after year, Lord, we'd be able to tell more and more of this story of what you are doing to reach Alaska with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. All right, so again, in to recap, three things that happen when we go on mission. One, we move outside of our comfort zones into the faith zone. We have opportunity to expand our worldview while influencing others, and we experience deepening fellowship with kingdom partners and extended spiritual family. Okay, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I know they're back there going, is that the cue? Is this the cue? Is this the cue? That's the cue. When I say come up, that's the cue, okay? So the cue is that. But here's a couple of, again, verses that will help encourage us. As we go on mission together, Acts 2:42 says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to sharing of meals. In other words, this was the life of naturally supernatural communities of faith and to prayer. It's a mission lifestyle. 1 John 1:3 says, we proclaim to you what we actually ourselves have seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. Again, that's building our testimony. And the final verse that I want to kind of end on today is 1 John 1:7, which simply says, but if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with others, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen? So I'd like the worship team to just play through this song one more time. And as we do, I'd like us to just think about what might God be doing in your life to have you step out of comfort into faith? Where might he be asking us, collectively as us individually, to take the next step in fellowship and partnership in the gospel throughout both the world and next door in our lives? Can you guys believe with me today that the Holy Spirit will speak to us about what he's doing in our midst? Does that make sense? So let's respond to him. Again, we never want to just do a message. We never want to just report out. We want to be responsive to his word and to his spirit guiding us. Amen? So let's worship him, and then I'll close the service. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we declare that it's your presence that leads us in and leads us out. And Lord, we acknowledge that so much of our life can become absorbed or overly focused on the mundane, on the day-to-day challenges that we all have to navigate and work through. But we love the fact that you give us new life that allows us to experience the miraculous moments in the mundane of our lives every day. Help us to have eyes to see how you're sending us to be witness, how you are calling us to be partners, how you are working through us in both the big and the day-to-day connected relational ways to build your kingdom in this place. Father, I thank you for the privilege and the honor that it is to be called partners in the gospel. And Lord, we ask you to bring to light, to bring to mind those in our lives that you're calling us to influence for the purposes of your kingdom and for eternity. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Chad, I don't know anything about Alaska. I don't know anything about this church thing. But the verses that you talked about today said that Jesus would give me new life. If that's you here today, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to that, as we all do every day, in response to his goodness and his grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he trades his life for our life so that we can go on mission for him. Isn't that a great deal, you guys? He takes our sin upon himself. That way we can go and represent him in his holiness. And so whether you're praying this for the very first time or you're praying this for the 500th time because you've been a part of this community for some time, let's pray it like it's our first time, and let's remember that this is truly our greatest, most complete identity of who we are. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, to living in fellowship with God's people, following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, I pray and I trust. Amen. Hey, if God's encouraged your heart, can you give him an applause? Thank you, God. Thank you for the baptisms. Thank you for your presence in our midst. And thank you for your presence of the church in Alaska. So God bless you. Thank you for being here. If you need prayer for any need in your life, we would love to pray for you. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'd like to meet you and give you a gift that'll help you get started in your journey with Jesus, okay? God bless you. Have a great day. Thank you for being here at North Rock.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.